the Word of God and continue the message we started this morning. Now, I'm very enthused about the Bible. I really am. I just, every day in my life, I think I fall more in love with the Bible than ever before, because it means so much to me. And I felt led of the Lord today to speak to you morning and night about the Bible, about the Word of God. And I said to you this morning, if you want to know what kind of a book this is, see what the Bible says about itself. Not what others have said about the Bible, but see what the Bible has to say about itself. Now this morning I read some scripture and it's worth repeating. And I want to read it again from the 119th Psalm. And take up where we left off this morning and continue speaking on the Word of God. Will you look again at this stanza, as it's called, 8 verses, starting with verse 161 in the 119th Psalm? And let's read carefully and prayerfully this beautiful part in the Word of God. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe at thy word, as one that findeth great spoil. And I'm told that the word spoil is synonymous in this instance with the word treasure. And what the psalmist is saying, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. And I'm using for a text tonight and this morning also 2 expressions out of this part of the Word of God. The 164th verse, the psalmist said, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. And what the psalmist is saying is 7 times every day I praise thee for the Bible. And then this expression also we're using as a foundation of what we're preaching about today. In verse 161, my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Now there is no book like the Bible. A great man some years ago, many years ago, said, Christ is the grand object of the Bible, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be opened in judgment, and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. Thank God for the Bible. Daniel Webster said, if we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But notice what this man said scores of years ago. We abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we and our posterity neglect its instruction and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury our glory in profound obscurity. And the Bible has been neglected. It's been put out of the schools. And God has brought judgment in many ways upon this nation. Hundreds of thousands of people in America tonight face a disease for which there is no human cure. And a disease which until a few years ago had no name and no identity. And that's the disease called AIDS. And AIDS is nothing but the judgment of God upon a nation that has left God out of its national life and taken God's holy book out of our public education system. My heart stands in awe tonight of the Bible. And this morning I dealt with the Bible as a mirror. I dealt with the Bible this morning as a laver or basin in which the Christian can wash the daily defilement of sin from his life. And this morning we dealt with the Bible as a lamp or a light to guide us on our pathway. And tonight I want us to see four other emblems used in the Bible to help us to see what this holy book really is to the child of God. Now the Bible, God's word, is food for the soul. Many, many times in the Bible there is reference to this book being food for the soul of a Christian. Thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Jeremiah said, thy words were found and I did eat them. You say to me tonight, preacher, does that really mean that Jeremiah actually ate the word of God? There is absolutely no question about it. You read the book of Ezekiel chapter 2 and read the closing verses of chapter 2 and on into chapter 3 of the book of Ezekiel. You read where God said to Ezekiel, and God gave a vision to Ezekiel. And Ezekiel said, I saw a hand, and in that hand was a roll, that is a scroll, a manuscript. God said it was his word. And Ezekiel said, I saw a hand, and in that hand was a roll. And God said unto Ezekiel, eat this roll. And Ezekiel ate that roll, and he said, it was under my mouth as sweet as honey. You see, the Bible says of itself, it is food for the soul of the saint. And what natural food does to the physical body, this Bible does to the spiritual man. It is food for the soul. Job said, I have esteemed thy words, the words of his mouth, more than my necessary food. Job in chapter 23, verse 12 said, this book, this Bible, this teaching, this truth is more important to my soul than natural food is to my mouth and to my body. And I want you to notice tonight some wonderful instances in the Bible where the Bible pictures itself as food for the soul of the saint. There is a professor of science, Professor J.A. Carlson, who's tried to figure out how long certain things can live without food, without doing injury to their physical being. Professor Carlson said, a bird can go 9 days without food, without doing injury to its physical body. A man can go 12 days without food. Men have gone much longer. But I'm talking about without doing physical injury to the human body. Bird can go 9 days. A man can go 12 days without food. A dog can go 20 days. And a turtle can go 500 days without food. And a snake can live 800 days without food. And fish have been known to live 1,000 days without food. And insects have gone without food for 1,200 days and still live. But I say to you tonight, according to this book, no saint of God can live victoriously one day without feeding upon the Bible, the Word of God. Now the Bible says it's two or three different kinds of food. First of all, it is milk for the young. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, Paul said, you have become such as have need of milk. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So the Bible pictures the food for the young convert as milk out of the word of God. Peter said, as newborn babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the word. Now the first thing when the baby is born into this world, it's born into this world knowing how to nurse. No one ever has to teach a normal baby how to nurse. No one even has to teach a baby how to move its lips and use its mouth. It is born in this world with the natural God-given inclination to nurse upon the milk of its mother in order to grow. And no saint of God ever born into the family of God has been born without some appetite for the Word of God. As newborn babes in Christ desire the sincere milk of the Word. But the Bible goes further. The Bible says it is like meat for the mature. When Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, he said, I fed you with milk and not with meat, because hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither now are you able. And is there such a thing as being weaned from the milk of the Word and placed on the meat of the Word? For the Bible, the meat of the Word, is food for the soul of the saint. But I want us to see tonight a third thing in the Bible, where the Bible pictures itself as food for the soul of the child of God. And that's the word honey. It is pictured as milk for the newborn babe in Christ, meat for the mature, but honey for the true lover of the Word of God. The psalmist said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. You see, honey refers to the sweetness of the Bible. Oh, what a sweet book it is. How sweet is the Bible to those who've sinned? I'm talking about Christians. How sweet it is to the Christian who has sinned against God, because he can go to this sweet book. And this wonderful book says to him, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a sweet message to the saint of God who has sinned against the Lord. It is a sweet message to those who need comfort. Romans 15 and verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. How sweet is this book to comfort the troubled heart. It is like honey. It is sweet to those whose mind is troubled. I think I mentioned to you last Wednesday night, you know, there's a wonderful verse. It's the life's verse of my precious mother, who's nearing 93 years of age. I believe if the Lord lets her live till the 15th day of this March, my Christian mother will be 93 years old. And in the flyleaf of my mother's Bible, like many people do, she's put her favorite verse. And her favorite verse is Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And do you know there's such a thing? What Satan is trying to do tonight is the matter of mind control. Satan wants to control your mind. But this book can control your mind. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And all the promises of the Bible of place upon man a responsibility. And this one says, because he trusteth in thee. Oh, how sweet this book is to the troubled mind. How sweet it is to the weak. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. How sweet to those who are confused. For the psalmist said, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. And when I read that verse, I said, Lord, that's what I am. A simple-minded man and simple-minded Christian who needs understanding. And God in His Word says, the entrance of this book into the heart of a man gives understanding to the simple. It's sweet to the brokenhearted. The psalmist said, it was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You know, if a Christian could every time something burdens and troubles his heart, if every time your heart is broken, you could say, there's a purpose in this, that I might learn the Word of God and partake of this food from the Bible. It's certainly sweet to those who lose a loved one. For the Bible said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep. I shook hands out in the parking lot this morning with one of our sweet widowed ladies. And our church has many of them in it. And I shook the hand of that sweet widowed elderly lady this morning and remembered how she used to come with her husband. Now she comes alone. And I thought how wonderful it is that God never forsakes people like that. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so will God bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And I could not help to think today how that sweet widowed lady looks forward to the morning of the glorious resurrection of the saints who sleep in Christ. Oh, you talk about a sweet book. This book is a sweet book. It's food for the soul. Dr. Ari Tari, who was a great evangelist, also in the early days of his ministry, held some pastorates. And Dr. Tari had one of his ladies at church one time, and he was speaking to her, and she seems troubled. And he said to her, the preacher said to her, how is it with your spiritual life? She said, oh, Pastor, it is terrible. She said, I'm embarrassed about my spiritual life. And she said, I know God must be ashamed of my spiritual life. And she was holding in her arms a sweet little baby. And Pastor Dr. Ari Tari said to her, how often do you feed the little baby? She said, every 4 hours by the clock. Right around the clock, every 4 hours, I feed this baby. Dr. Tari said to her, do you read your Bible? She said, no, the Bible is a book I almost fear to read because every verse condemns me for my life. I'm so ashamed of my spiritual life. He said, and you feed the baby every 4 hours? Yes, she said. Then he said, what would happen to your wee little baby if you fed it today one time and tomorrow one time and the next day one time, and the next day one time, and then skipped a day, and skipped a day. She said, why, my baby would not grow and my baby might die. And that godly man said, then, my dear sister, unless you're fed from the Word of God, your soul will shrivel up and you won't grow. I say unto you tonight, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You say, what is the Bible? The Bible is food for the soul of the child of God. It is something else. And what I'm saying is, I'm trying to say, what the Bible says that it is. Then I know. Not what man says it is. But what does God's Word say? God's Word says it is gold to make us rich. Do you know this Bible promises that it will make the one who reads it rich? And there's gold in this book. I'm talking about spiritual gold. The psalmist said in the 19th Psalm in verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. And let me ask you, I wonder tonight if you've cultivated such a desire for the Bible that you could truthfully say tonight, I'd rather have this book than real yellow gold. I'd rather have the gold of this wonderful book than to have real gold in this world. I'll tell you better. We best come to that place because one day the Bible says, everything shall melt with a fervent heat when God destroys everything. One day God will destroy this microphone. I'm going to say hallelujah when all the PA systems are done away with. One day every atom in this pulpit and every seat and every brick and every piece of cement in this building will explode. For God said, with fervent heat and great noise, I will destroy everything. And no gold, no diamond, no jewels except those in God's holy city will stand that test. And God says, His book is a book that makes us rich. Oh, I think so often the man sat up late at night to count his riches. Said, I have nowhere to bestow my goods. Isn't that a kind of peculiar position to be in? Said, I have so much I don't know where to put it. I remember one time when I was in my first pastorate, and I really could write a book about my first pastorate. Now, I've often mentioned to you, my salary is $14 a week. One day when I was just as broke can be, I said, I must do something for the Lord. I had no gasoline in my car, so I started walking in the little village of Leonard, Michigan. And I came to the first door and knocked on it. And I came to the door, and I can see her now. She was of average height, and she was in her 70s then. Her husband had been the old country doctor in that area. In fact, when the people wanted to be helpful to us in that seven-room parsonage, we had no furniture, and they wanted to help Ms. Malone and I, they gave us some things out of the doctor's, her husband's office. He died and gone be the Lord, his old country doctor. We had for our dining room table for a while, I'll just say exactly what it was. It was an obstetrical table. And he came right out of the doctor's office. And this doctor, somehow or another, during his lifetime, he came into possession of houses and lands, and here was his widow. And here was this preacher making $14 a week and couldn't stretch $14 till the next $14 came to save my life. And walking, because I had no gas for the car, and I knocked on the door, and this dear lady came to the door, so help me, with her little hanky, and she was drying her tears, and she was crying. And I said, Sister Rob, what in the world is wrong? She said, Pastor, Elder, I was 24 years old. She said, Elder, That's what they call me. She said, Elder, I have all this property down in Pontiac. This was up in Leonard, Michigan. Little community written up in magazines that told me years ago for having made the least progress in 50 years. And she said, Elder, I have all this property down in Pontiac and over in Rochester. And just, she said, I have to go collect all these rents and gather up all this money and put all this stuff in the bank and take care of all this money and all these investments. And she said, it's driving me crazy. And she was crying. And I didn't have a dime. That's too bad. And I started to cry. And the poor old widow and I just stood and looked at each other and cried for a while. But I won't tell you, I wasn't crying for the same reason she was. But I want to tell you something. There is no riches in this world like the riches of this precious book. Isaac Watt, that great Christian, said, this is the field where hidden lies the pearl of price unknown. That makes, I can't read my own writing, that merchant is divinely wise who makes the pearl his own. And I want to tell you, the wisest thing you ever did is to seek the riches of the book of God. They bring such wonderful peace and happiness. Whereas earthly riches are corruptible, these are incorruptible. I was reading a verse the other day. You know, nearly every one of us depend on our home. We depend on it in the right way, for shelter, for warmth, for a place, for our family. But I was reading a verse the other day in the book of Habakkuk. I'd never read before, never thought. I'd read it before, but never thought of it in this way. Woe unto him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. God said, woe unto the man that trusts in his home to deliver him from the power of evil. There's no gold in that place. It's found in this place. And God says, woe unto the man that puts his trust in it. John Wanamaker was a great man and became a great millionaire, and he's a wonderful Christian. John Wanamaker was speaking one time, and he said, as you know, of course, I have made many great purchases that have gone into the millions of dollars. And as he made his speech, he said, the buildings and grounds on which you are now seated and where I'm now speaking are worth $20 billion. But John Wanamaker was a Christian. And he gave millions and millions of dollars to the Lord. And he went on to say, when I was 11 years of age, I made the greatest investment I ever made, he said. I bought a little red Bible for $2.75. And he said, I paid for it in small installments as I was able to earn and to save my nickels and dimes. And he went on to say, the property where we are now seated is worth $20 billion. But the greatest investment I ever made was the little red Bible for $2.75 when I was 11 years old. And the New York Herald Tribune wrote an article, and this was the title of the lead caption of the article. Later deals in millions call small comparing with buying the Holy Bible at age 11. And I want to tell you, there's no thing in the world like this Bible. It's food for the soul. It's riches for the Christian. I must hasten to conclude. God's Word is a fire and a hammer and a sword. In other words, the Bible claims it is a tool. God said to Jeremiah, is not my word as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Jeremiah 23:29. God said, my word is like a fire and like a hammer. Now, if you'll study that carefully, you'll find in that chapter that God said there are people that dream dreams. And they tell all of these confusing dreams as to be something helpful and valuable to people. But God said, my word is like a fire and like a hammer. And God asked the question in this chapter, what is the chaff to the wheat? And I know what God's thinking. God's thinking, this is the wheat. And all these other philosophies of life, contrary to this book, are the chaff. And my word is a fire and will burn them all up. And thank God it will. You know, any religious philosophy that does not point men to redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross is chaff. And this fire will burn it. Fire will burn up the chaff. And one day, you know, even Jeremiah kind of rebelled against the Lord. It's a wonderful thing what happened to him in a way. He got slapped. Now, man by the name of Pasher, just, as we say, slapped the fire out of him. Well, that's what he tried to do. And then not only that, he put him right publicly in front of the temple of God and put him in wooden stocks to embarrass him. And Jeremiah got embarrassed and he said, I'm just going to shut my mouth. And he even said to the Lord, Lord, you deceived me. And then I read this wonderful statement, and I just can hardly keep from shouting. I read where Jeremiah said, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But listen to it. But his word was shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He said, his word was like a fire in my bones. Wouldn't it be good to get your old bones just fired up with the word of God? That's what it is. It's a fire and it's a hammer. And I don't have time to deal with it as I'd like to, but I took my Bible concordance and I looked in the Bible for the word hammer. And I was surprised you don't find it more than a half dozen times. But I find one time where there was a man by the name of Sisera who was an enemy to the people of God and really a great general and successful. But one day he's in flight. And he had not been overcome. And he came to the home of a woman. And he sought refuge and safety. And he lay down to sleep. The Bible tells us, it's an ugly story, but it's what the Bible says. While he was asleep, she took a nail and laid it to his temple and took the hammer and drove the nail through his head to the ground. And a woman did with a hammer what a whole army could not do. And a Christian can do with this hammer, can break any rock that needs to be broken. God said, my word's like a fire and like a hammer, and it's like a sword. I'm going to skip a lot. I'd like to talk to you about the sword. Oh, I think of David when he's fleeing one time and he was in the land of the Philistines and came to King Achish and he said, I have no sword. And the king said, well, Goliath's sword, you know, David had slain him, then took his sword and cut Goliath's head off with it. And Achish said, well, Goliath's sword is laid up here. And David said, there's none like that. Give it to me. That's the way I feel about the Bible. This Bible is the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17. There's none like that. Give it to me. And in closing, God's word is a seed that produces life. The seed is the word of God, Luke 8:11. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, even the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. A great professor one time held up a little brown seed. And he said, I know just exactly the composition of this seed. It has in it nitrogen, hydrogen, and carbon. I know the exact proportions. I can make a seed that looks exactly like this seed. But if I plant my seed, it will come to naught. Its elements will simply be absorbed in the soil. If I plant the seed God made, it will become a plant because it contains the mystery which we call the life principle. And that's what this Bible does. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, even the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. There's a little poem written one time. I'd like to get a copy of it. I've never seen it. I've just seen the title of it. The title of it is The Barber Just Kept On Shaving. And the little poem gives the story that the barber loved certain objects of taxidermy. He had some stuffed animals in the front of his barber shop. And one day there came a young college boy that was already educated far beyond his intelligence. And he was studying ornithology, which is a branch of zoology. It's the ornithology is the study of birds. And in the front of this barber shop was all these stuffed animals, and here was an owl. The young college boy, looking at these things, finally fastened his eyes on the owl and said, "Poor job. The legs are not right. Feathers don't lay down as they ought to. And look at the arch of the head. It's not as it should be." And about that time, the owl turned its head and blinked his eyes at him. And how foolish is man to criticize this book? Because the Bible says the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And as a discerner, and the word discerner is synonymous with the word critic, and as a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You better be careful how you criticize this book, because it'll blink at you one day. It's God's word. Let's pray. Our Father, bless thy word to our hearts tonight. We thank thee for what it is. And Lord, knowing what it is to know what it can do in the lives of the people of God. Bless it to our hearts tonight. Bless thy servant in weakness. And may we have thy strength this night through this book. And may there be done in hearts and lives tonight that which pleases thee. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.